chapter, Romans chapter 16. The logic flow of the New Testament is, in some respects, very simple. And it begins with this particular statement. You read about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done in the Gospels. And then you see what the saints did about it in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and in particular, what the apostles did about the wonderful message of the gospel. When you get to the book of Romans, it is all explained for you. And you read through it and you say, hallelujah. You get to chapter 5 and it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And you jump for joy and you say, this is absolutely marvelous stuff. And you keep on reading down until you get to the end of the book, and you find out not only is the Lord marvelous in what he has done for us, but he is transforming us by his grace and making us like his son. And we are carrying on a new life. We've been born again, and we've got new life in Christ Jesus. But that's not the end of it. It's amazing. Many of us wonder why on earth he didn't just take us to heaven the day we got saved. It would have been really nice to get saved and go to heaven. Amen. And there we are. And that's good. But God's got something better for us. What he's got that's better for us is that he's going to use this time to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And if you're like me, sometimes you say, Lord, that's wonderful, but frankly, it's taking a lot of time. And I haven't really got there as fast as I should have got there. When you get to the end of the book of Romans, there's a very simple warning. It's chapter 16 and verse 17, I believe. And this is what it says. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There are some Christians who trust the Lord, and they walk wisely before the Lord, and everything's wonderful. There are others who are troublemakers, and they cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. What doctrine would that be? That would be the doctrine of the book of Romans. And many people are tend to say, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and from now on, my service for the Lord, my following the Lord is pretty much optional. And I'll follow him the way I would like, and everything will be fine. And the Lord says, no, no, it's not optional. We're in his family. And I wasn't very old before I learned in my family that there were certain things that I could do and could not do. And Harold's independence was not optional. He was responsible to do a lot of things. He could do something on his own. There's a lot of things he had to do just because they were right, and he had to do it. And the same thing is true when we join the family of God. We have a responsibility. And so Book of Romans ends with that particular theme. And then you get into the book of 1 Corinthians. And it seems to me that what we've got here is an outline of the responsibilities we have in the family of God. And in particular, the responsibilities to live up to the standards of the book of Romans. And in particular, an explanation of why we might not live the way we ought to live and what we should do about it. And so the book of 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 and verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So what do you think of that? It really is a pretty high standard, isn't it? We all think the same thing. We all do the same thing. We're all of one mind. What a blessed position that is. but rather an unlikely position to be in, isn't it? Years ago, we looked over the assembly, this is probably 20, 25 years ago. I think we counted 25 different nationalities, if I can call it that. 25 different places where the members of the assembly were born. Some were born in Asia, some were born in Europe, some were born in Africa, some were born in South America, here, there, up and down. 25 different countries. Do you think they're all going to get along really, really well? We realize that there are problems in the world today, and the Ukrainians and the Russians aren't getting along very well. And there's lots of places in the Middle East where people aren't getting along very well. And there's a lot of places in Africa where people aren't getting along very well. And when you put the whole world together, lots of different countries, maybe 170 or 200, I can't remember. Chances that we'll all get along really well are pretty slim, aren't they? And we come, therefore, as believers, we come from a wide variety of ethnic and country and cultural backgrounds, and we all have our own wisdom for why we do what we do. And you come to me and you say, why do you do it that way? And I say, well, my great-grandparents did it this way, and they did it this way because it's the right way to do it. And then you say, well, that's not the way I do it. And I say, well, why don't you do it that way? And you say, well, my great-grandparents, they didn't do it that way yet. How can you possibly get it all together? And the answer is, what we say is, Lord, we need your help. And so see if I can find for you. Give me a moment. I opened my notes, and there weren't notes. So I've got another page that I'm going to turn to here. All right. I want you to read verse 19. And verse 20, and it says, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? So what do we do? Years ago, 25 different nationalities. I think probably associated with the assembly today, we could come up pretty easily with 20 or maybe more nationalities. How do we all get the same wisdom? We all end up saying, well, the wisdom of the world that I brought in with me, if it's the wisdom of the world, it's not going to be wisdom. I've got to learn the Lord's wisdom. And so sometimes you ask yourself as a new Christian, why is it that there are so many meetings? When I was a child, I was going to 6 or 7 meetings every week. And as I've been going through life, I end up going to 6 or 7 meetings every week. And you say, why is that? Shouldn't the church be a Sunday morning only? You come along on a Sunday morning, you learn some things, and that's enough. And the answer is no, it's not enough. Why? Because you got to unlearn the wisdom of the world, whatever that is. And you got to learn the wisdom of the Lord. And if you're like me, that's a difficult process. Doesn't come terribly easy. But we've got to get that wisdom. You see, the wise people, the scribes, the disputers of the world, God has made them foolish. The wisdom of the world has been made foolish. We've got to get God's wisdom. How do you do it? Well, here it is, all 1,500 pages of it. And so we go to meeting after meeting after meeting. We get together and we study. And we read the Bible on our own when we're at home. And we bow our head and we say, Lord, I guess I'm kind of slow. I still haven't got it. We read lots of passages in the Bible, and we say, Lord, I'm really slow because I've read it many times, and I still can't understand it. And the Lord says, Harold, you're going to have to just learn the wisdom line upon line, precept upon precept, here, a little there, a little, you just get it slow. And so you say, all right, Lord, I would like to do that. I want you to keep going to verse 30 in this chapter. And it says, but in him, that is in Jesus Christ, in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What's the problem? Why, we come from a diverse background. And the world is confusion. It isn't a unified confusion. It is a diverse confusion. And if we would follow that, we would be a diverse people. And we're to be a uniform people. And how do we get it? We return and return and return and return to the wisdom of the Lord. And we return to one another in order to learn that wisdom of the Lord and to grow together. Because if we kept on going in our own directions, we would learn very slowly the wisdom of the Lord. We learn the wisdom of the Lord from each other, don't we? Praise the Lord. You look at some person and you say, and he said, she's, when I was very, very young, I used to look at the congregation and I would say to myself, you know, I'd like to be able to preach like this brother. And I'd like to be able to pray like that brother. And I'd like to be able to worship like this brother. And I'd like to be able to love like that woman. And I would say to myself, I don't see it all in one basket, but it's all there. That's how we teach one another, perfectly joined together. It's a marvelous thing. Let's keep just looking now. Chapter 2, verses 12. Verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. The world's got its own spirit. So in its own ways, that we've received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He gives us his Spirit, and he gives us his wisdom, so that we would know what it is we've got. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom speaketh, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And we learn from one another because we speak those things which are from the Lord. Verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. How do we learn it? Well, we learn it from the Word of God and we learn it from one another. Verse 15, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So we get this marvelous encouragement to keep on learning and growing in the truth of God. First Corinthians is all about this thing. Second Corinthians is all about this thing. You get under Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and you keep going. Issues that are addressed and difficulties, especially as you get to the end of the New Testament, how to overcome the many difficulties along the way. But first of all, here in Corinthians, the question is how to make sure that we are a unified people and a people who are serving the Lord together. We will be unified only if we all have the wisdom of God. But if I'm following my wisdom, and you're following your wisdom, and we're both getting our wisdom from the world, what are we going to do? We'll fight. And I'll say, you know, I think you're wrong. And you'll probably say, I think you got rocks in your head. And if I'm following the world's wisdom, you'll be right. Let's keep seeing what we can here. Chapter 3 and verse 7 picks up the theme that we know very, very well. Seeing then, and neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's all about God. It's not about us. And in the barnyard, in the farmyard, it's not one or the other. It's God giving the increase to us all. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We're all building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I lay the foundation. Another is building thereon. How can we possibly build if we're walking according to different wisdoms and sufficiently diverse in our understanding that we're divided? You remember, we didn't read the verse, but in Corinth, there were four groups. One group was the Apollos group, another group the Paul group, the Cephas group, the people who said they're following Jesus Christ. Four different groups. In the one assembly, they weren't united at all. That's a big problem, not only them, it's a big problem in the world today. A lot of churches aren't really united. And so the question is, what do you do? And the logical thing for Paul to say was, listen, there are four divisions in the group. Why don't you just go in four different directions? You could have a North Corinth assembly, a South Corinth assembly, an East Corinth assembly, and a West Corinth assembly. And one could follow Paul, and one could follow Peter, and one could follow Apollos, and the other could follow Christ. And you say, no, that's not right. But you know, we could be that way. Even today, and so often, when people disagree, they say, you know, I think we'll just go our own way, or we'll go elsewhere, okay? The Lord says, no. He wants his people to be unified. He wants his people to be spiritually unified. And therefore, in chapter 3, we note that we are God's building. We're building together. Verse 16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God defile or destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The Lord doesn't say you just go and do your own thing. The Lord says we're all part of the same family. We're working together for the glory of God. What a marvelous thing. Easy? No. Because we've got to unlearn what we learned that's wrong. And we've got to become committed to what is right. And we've got to learn it together. Even though we all grow at different times and in different directions. Is it easy? Not really. No. But it is a wonderful thing. Chapter 4. chapter 4. And Paul says, now, one of the problems is you have a hard time figuring out me. Sometimes we do have trouble figuring out one another, and we often have trouble figuring out the structure of the church. And in the early days, the Corinthians, they didn't really understand Paul very well. And we've got to just be very patient with one another. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. What do you know about Paul? Well, he was a minister, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was a steward of the mysteries of God. They had been revealed to him. His responsibility was to know them and to pass them on, to live them and to teach them. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. He says, I got this incredible stewardship. Understand the mysteries of God. Most people don't, but I do. And I not only understand the mysteries of God, my responsibility is to pass them on to others. And it's most important that I be faithful in that responsibility. Then he said, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. He's basically saying, you know, the problem with you Corinthians is you are very quick to judge. And in particular, you're very quick to judge me. And just be careful. Our responsibility is not to be judging one another. But you've been judging me. Then Paul goes on in verse 4 and he says, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. He says, I'm not going to be running around judging myself. I'm not going to run around and say, I wonder if what I did was really going to bring forth fruit. I'm not going to judge as to say, I'm better than he is, or he's better than I am. We're not doing that. I'm just going to serve the Lord. You're just going to serve the Lord, and the Lord will do be the judge. It is verse 4, God who judges me, he that judges me, he is the Lord. Therefore, he says, verse 5, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Judgment day is going to be a wonderful thing, because he's going to be judging us not on the basis of what we could see. He's going to be judging us on the basis of the heart. Okay? Now, if you're like me, you often say, Lord, this is what I would like to do. And so I go ahead and do it, and it all blows up in my face. And I say, well, I guess I must die. I don't know. And it could become very discouraging. It could become debilitating. It could become a means for us to stop doing. Some of us could take early retirement just because things don't work out the way we would like them to work out. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to judge that way. I'm going to judge the heart. Did you have a good heart? Did you do it because you love Jesus? If you didn't, you're going to get a reward. So it says, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He'll make manifest the counsel of the man, the counsels of the hearts. And then the last line in verse 5, which I have underlined in my Bible, simply says, and then shall every man have praise of God. I don't quite know how words day is going to go. But I kind of think it's going to be like this. I think that each one of us will be called before the Lord. And you'll say, oh, here we go. And I'll say, oh, here we go. And he calls us up one by one. And he praises every one of us. It's just a little overwhelming. You look at your heart, I look at my heart, I try not to judge. I'm not sure that I deserve much praise of God. On judgment day, the Lord who knows those who are his, the Lord who knows his saints, is going to have praise for every one of his saints. Mark. It's possible for us to get to the point where we say, oh, well, I disagree, and we could do foolish things. We could sow discord among brethren. Or we could simply say, Lord, I'm gonna keep on growing with these saints. And we're, by the grace of God, going to grow together, and we're going to slowly get rid of the wisdom of the world to pick up the wisdom of our Lord Jesus. Because at the end of the day, every one of us will have praise of God. It was kind of nice to be at Bill Whiting's funeral. And there are a few things that we knew, but we didn't know. A lot of us didn't know the details that came up. It's not going to be like that on Judgment Day. We saw a few things Bill did. On Judgment Day, we're going to see the heart. And so often in our hearts are those wonderful longings. The Lord knows our prayers. He listens to our agonizing. He bottles our tears. And everyone will have praise of God on that day. Lord, we just pray that we'll learn. We want to learn the truth of Romans. We want to live the life of wisdom so that we don't fall into the problems that the Corinthians fell into. Lord, help us to keep on learning. Help us to keep on growing. Help us to keep on maturing. Keep us from judging one another. Keep us from judging ourselves, but keep us in your wisdom and in your ways, we pray. We pray that you will build the Assembly of 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel and everyone in it. We pray that you will reach out to everyone associated with it, that there might be many find the Lord and mature in him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.